In this world of troubles and sorrows, with its wars in five foreign lands, Ireland has made its contribution to peace and forgot its own troubles.
There's a sculpture in Derry, Northern Ireland, depicting the hard process of making peace. This bronze sculpture is of two men reaching out to grasp each other's hands across a gap that separates them. It's called Hands Across the Divide. Sculptor Maurice Haran created the work to symbolize the spirit of reconciliation and hope for the future. That's only a nice sentiment to those who don't know the background. The sculpture relates the story of Ireland's troubles when sectarian violence ripped the peace from both Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic for nearly 30 years. Derry was the scene of a particularly terrible incident known as Bloody Sunday, when in 1972 a confrontation between British troops and protesters resulted in the deaths of 14 unarmed civilians. 20 years after the incident, as the troubles continued to plague Ireland, Haran unveiled his sculpture at the Craigavon Bridge that spanned the river, dividing Derry's Protestant and Catholic communities. It expressed hope that peace might still be possible, a hope that became reality with the Good Friday Agreement of 1998. And to this day, Hands Across the Divide stands as a reminder of the troubles and of the hope that stirs in the hearts of all people, the hope that their children may grow up in peace and achieve a better future. Is this hope somehow alien to the people of God? Surely not. Yet, why do we tend to look with skepticism on news that peace is not only possible, but is actually happening, especially when it happens between long-standing enemies? We've seen this more than once in our time. Consider the opposition to President Jimmy Carter's efforts to broker peace between Israel and Egypt, a peace that has lasted more than 40 years. Voices also rose in opposition when President Reagan and Premier Gorbachev forged ahead to bring reconciliation between the United States and the Soviet Union. They scoffed when Reagan called on Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall, and when the wall did come down, they questioned whether the Cold War had actually come to an end. Why do we seem to fear peace more than conflict? Perhaps we're so focused on one phrase in Scripture that we cannot countenance an alternative to endless war. That phrase is in Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, in which he says, "While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." We read this, we look around and see signs that we are at the end of the age, and we expect that any cries of peace are those of the deceived or of the deceivers. But what exactly did Paul mean? Hear his words in context from 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-11. "Now, as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." This passage is often interpreted as commentary on the last days, when Antichrist will desecrate the temple and persecute the people of God during the Great Tribulation. While that may be so, we should consider the historical context. Paul wrote this letter in AD 51 or 52, at a time when great tensions existed between Rome and Judea. Just a decade earlier, Emperor Caligula had ordered a statue of himself to be placed in the temple in Jerusalem. But only the intervention of Herod Agrippa and Caligula's death prevented that desecration. Around the time of Paul's writing, the high priest Ananias was taken to Rome to stand trial for inciting violence. Although he was acquitted, the relationship of Rome's empire with its Jewish subjects remained shaky, ultimately resulting in the Great Jewish War and destruction of the temple just 20 years later. Given the circumstances, is there any wonder that the new followers of Yeshua in Thessalonica asked if the end of the age was upon them, particularly since Yeshua himself had prophesied the destruction of the temple as recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and of Luke, Paul's companion. Thus, we see Paul deliberately referencing Jeremiah and Ezekiel, prophets who had spoken about false prophets promising a false peace. The context for them was that Babylon was in the process of conquering Judea according to the long-standing decrees of God's judgment. Consider what Jeremiah has to say about that. Jeremiah 8:8-13. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others, their fields to new owners, because from the least, even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet, even to the priest, everyone practices deceit. They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they had done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall down among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they shall be brought down, says the Lord. I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine and no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf will wither, and what I have given them will pass away. Jeremiah, just like Messiah Yeshua centuries later, was addressing an apostate spiritual leadership of God's covenant people, a leadership who spoke the words of Moses, but lived for themselves and therefore committed greater abomination to God's holy name and his holy temple than anything a pagan conqueror could do. That is why judgment and destruction came, even though they continued to proclaim a false peace based on wishful thinking. So how do we regard developments in the world today that seem to carry the same questionable promises of peace? We do it with humility, wise counsel, and discernment. Not every proclamation of peace is a false peace. Many, in fact, are the fruit of years of careful labor by people of vision and goodwill, whom God is using to set conditions by which his people can minister the gospel of the kingdom. Those are the people Yeshua says will be called the sons of God, precisely because they are peacemakers. In this, as in everything else, we are called to be wise stewards of the time in which we live. Rather than knee-jerk reactions drawn from sound bites of Scripture, we should study carefully to show ourselves approved and seek wise counsel from others who may understand the circumstances a little better than we do, trusting that God will provide confirmation or correction as necessary. The Thessalonians did so in their day, and that is how Paul could confidently say that they were not of night or darkness, but needed only an exhortation to remain vigilant. So let it be for us. As we await our Messiah's return, whenever there's a chance for peace, let us give peace a chance.
And we'll be the land of the free. As saints and scholars, we'll have them to spare. And united we will be.